God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is actually going to be coming from our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 34. But before we get into that, let me explain a little bit more about today. Today, the church celebrates the transfiguration of our Lord. And as our gospel reading for today says, the transfiguration occurred when Jesus is on a mountaintop and all of a sudden he starts glowing. Now, I'm not talking that his mom, Mary, finally discovered bleach and his clothes were finally dazzling white. We're talking his face was actually glowing. Okay? It almost gives you the sort of the expression of, you know, a little bit maybe too much radiation or glowing like an angel glowing. And this is very important for us to realize that, yes, Jesus is not only a human being, but he's also God. But because he's God didn't always mean he always used his divinity. You know, that would be really nice if he did. Can you just picture? He's hanging out with the disciples, and they get a little hungry, and Peter says to Jesus, "Hey, how about some prime rib?" Jesus says, "Sure, there's a prime rib dinner." You know, that'd be great. And if there were leftovers, no problem. If there were dishes to clean up, no problem. They would just disappear. That truly would be fantastic. But Jesus did not always use his divinity. Yes, he did miracles. Yes, he healed people. Yes, he is the Son of God. But he didn't go around town shaking hands with people, glowing in the dark. So needless to say, it now comes where Jesus is now with his closest disciples. The three closest, Peter, James, and John. Now he's on the mountaintop, and now, at this point in time, God is going to reveal a little bit of a glimpse of who he is. You now see the glory of God shining through Jesus. He always is true God. God takes on flesh and blood, as we say. He was born in Bethlehem, but now, for a moment, you get to see the true glory of God. Now let me connect this with our Old Testament reading a little bit. Because while God was doing this on the Transfiguration account, with God is Moses and Elijah. So let's pop back to Deuteronomy for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 34, we have Moses, we actually have the death of Moses. And you'll find out, as we read in our Old Testament reading, that God is the one who buried Moses. Only God knew where Moses was buried. But particularly, let me just focus on for a moment verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were undimmed and his vigor unabated. Now, I will admit, when I first got to that passage in Scripture, I started thinking, boy, am I jealous. I'm in my early 40s and I already feel the aches and pains in my back. The bones are creaking. My eyes are getting a little diminished here. Here he is about three times my age, and he's still going, and still going, and still going, better than the Energizer battery, so to speak. And what happens? God says, finally, you're done. I will bury you. The next time we hear about Moses in the flesh is at this transfiguration account here. What's happening here? And for the Christian, we might get a little bit of this glimpse here, but let me explain it this way. As the Christian, we believe that Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. We call this the resurrection of the body. What's occurring here on the transfiguration, again, is a little bit of a glimpse of that resurrection. A little bit of that glimpse of what eternal life is going to be like for us. Yes, Moses died, and some 1,000 years later, we now have the transfiguration account. And now Moses and Elijah are standing right next to Jesus. Now, there's some very important truths here. Because sometimes people may ask, okay, Pastor, we're going to be in heaven. What are we going to look like? Well, I don't know. Will people be able to recognize us? That one I can answer. Because notice what happened in our text. Peter, James, and John knew that this person was Moses. And they knew this person was Elijah. The artist on our bulletin cover gives us a little bit of a depiction of that. We don't know exactly what Moses and Elijah looks like. Getting back to our theme for the day, when we in the bodily resurrection, people will be able to understand who we are. I don't ask me what age we're going to look like. That I don't know. But I do know that people will be able to recognize us. Now, I need to set aside this next little moment as a little bit of a discussion, or not a discussion, but as a teaching moment. For Christians, we believe in the resurrection of the body, and that's a very important term. As Jesus on the third day was raised from the dead, we also believe in the resurrection of the body. That's different, please, that's different than reincarnation. And the reason why I want to just sort of emphasize this for a moment, since I'm at this part in Scripture, it's a good time to do it, is every once in a while they do surveys of Christians. And if you happen to be surveyed, please remember this. Reincarnation is not the resurrection in the body. We believe that we will rise with our personal identities of who we are. Job says in Job chapter 19, verse 26, "And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Okay, Moses and Elijah were recognized as who Moses and Elijah are. Now let me explain reincarnation. Reincarnation is the concept that some people believe that when you die, you would come back in another physical form. If you lived a good life and you were a good person, you'd come back as another human being. If you were a really good life if you had a real good current life, you'd come back in a better life. If you didn't do so well in life, you'd come back in a lower life. And if you were really bad, you would come back in a lower life form. And if you were really, really, really bad, you'd come back as a fruit fly or something. I don't know. We don't believe in this. Needless to say, Jesus on the mountaintop at Transfiguration didn't pull some dog and some cat and saying, "Here's Moses and Elijah." We do not believe in reincarnation. We believe in the resurrection of the body. It was Moses and Elijah who were there with Jesus. How is this possible? Again, not by anything we do. Verse 7 of our Old Testament reading should remind us that if Moses can make it to 120 years old, with his eyes being undimmed and his vigor being unabated, there's something wrong with us. Well, there is something wrong with us, and that's called sin. What did Moses have that we didn't have? Scripture later on describes Moses as able to know God face to face. You see, Moses really knew God, was really God's mouthpiece, his ambassador, his prophet, so to speak, had a special relationship to God. And when you are connected with God, something happens. Something special happens. As Christians, we know that something special happens to us when we are first brought to the waters of holy baptism. From Titus chapter 3, verse 5, referring to God, "He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." Notice what's going on here. When a child or adult is brought to the waters of holy baptism, it's not just water being put upon them, but notice there's a washing of regeneration, a washing of renewal. There is a change going on within the person. Now, I'm not going to say that everyone who is baptized is going to live as long as Moses did, as 120 years old, with his eyes undimmed and his vigor unabated, because I've also been baptized, and I will tell you my eyes are needing some help here. My bones also need some help. Never mind, the whole body needs some help. Let's get back to our text. But when we are truly connected to God, God, who is the author of our life, can also renew our life and strengthen our life. We get a glimpse of this again with the Transfiguration. Moses is over 1,000 years old at this event. How is this possible? Not by our doing, only by God's doing. Now, how does this help us in our Christian life? We have to remember that, yes, it's very obvious our bodies are getting older. Even if you're only 1 year old, you're going to be getting older. There's going to come time in our lives where the bodies sort of start falling apart. Things may not be going our way. The effects of sin are great upon ourselves. But when God initially created Adam and Eve, he created them to be holy and perfect without the effects of sin. They were to live forever. But because of sin, well, let's just put it like this. The hospital and pharmaceutical communities make a lot of money. But through Christ's death and resurrection, he's got the ultimate answer to this, to undo the effects of sin. It is through the death of Jesus Christ and our faith and trust in what Christ has accomplished for us that, yes, we will have this glorified spiritual body. Not yet the time will come in God's time when this will take place. But this transfiguration account that today that we celebrate, the transfiguration of our Lord, gives us a little bit of that glimpse into what the future for those who believe and trust in the resurrection of the body will have. How does this help us again with our daily lives is there are sometimes we might be saying, Pastor, I'm jealous. I really wish I could be like Moses, have my eyes undimmed, my vigor unabated. Does God help us now? Help those of us who are not Moses, so to speak. And the answer again is yes. We know that as we get attached to God, God can renew. God does strengthen. And through his word, God does encourage us. Now, I'm not going to sit there and say that everyone who's a Christian will never have to go to a doctor again. I'd be lying to you. But as we are attached to Christ, we realize that our faith, our trust, puts the emphasis not necessarily on the physical body in the here and the now, but puts the emphasis on the spiritual body that God is going to give to us. It puts the focus not upon the things of this world, but puts our focus upon the things of God. That may be a great transcendent thought, but does this help me here and now? Can it help me with getting some more vigor here and now? Well, I don't want to make it sound like the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, this bread and wine, which is also the body and blood of Christ, is some miracle cure. But as Martin Luther points out, that as we are reminded that our souls are healed through the blood of Christ, through the forgiveness of sins, our souls are strengthened. And when the inner soul of us is strengthened, our entire personhood is also strengthened. So yes, not only in God's word and in our prayers and in our gathering together does that not just encourage us, but Christ himself encourages us with his own body and blood as we receive it with this bread and wine for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, a time will come where we will have what Moses has, vigor unabated. That time isn't yet. Until that time, we focus upon what God's word gives to us. It gives us that strength that we need each and every day. It gives us the assurance of, yes, we are loved by God. We are forgiven by God. Yes, we will have that spiritual glorified body. And God says, I'm not going to leave you alone, but I will encourage you and help you in this faith. What we need now is to, as Moses did, a little bit more of a reattachment to the one who gives that vigor, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the church gives this wonderful opportunity, especially in the days ahead. We're going to be entering the season of Lent starting on Wednesday. It's a 40-day season, not counting Sundays, until the time that we celebrate the resurrection of the body. We get the glimpse now. And by the way, that's exactly what Moses and Elijah were talking about, as it says in verse 31, talking about his departure, which was going to be soon at Jerusalem, talking about his death and resurrection, the day the church celebrates as Easter. So during this 40-day period between Lent, beginning of Lent, and Easter, the church usually does sort of a renewal, a time in which we encourage one another in the faith, to read our Bibles, to grow more in the faith. We have special worship services during the midweek to help with that. Because we all need that extra help. We all could use that little bit of that extra vigor. Because we're all getting a little older each and every day. And our Lord provides. He gives of His own body and blood. He gives of His own word to strengthen and nourish us. So as we are about ready to enter the season of Lent, you may notice that things might change a little bit in the church. The hymns might reflect a little bit more of a theme of repentance. As the church takes a good look at ourselves, focusing that our strength doesn't come from what we do, our strength comes from what God does for us. Until the next few days, we're still in the point of celebrating the transfiguration of our Lord, the epiphany that, yes, our Lord and Savior has come to us to give us of His body, to strengthen us, and to give us a little bit of a glimpse of what heaven's all about, to encourage us in the faith. And when we need a little bit of extra strength, when we need a little bit of that extra encouragement, when it seems like our vigor has run out, let's go back to the one who fed Moses, who took care of Moses, who made sure that after 120 years his eyes were undimmed and his vigor unabated, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.